Now let's continue what we began to study last time concerning how to pray for the people that you love. Where were we last time? All right, 1 John chapter 5. John said, if you see a Christian brother, I'm reading New Living Translation, or sister sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying you should pray for those who commit it. Now, I just want to pick up from here. We're talking about how to pray for the people that you love. Or let me just read a few more scriptures to be used as our foundation. This one I want to read is from 1 Samuel chapter 12. I want us to quickly look at that. Again, I'll just read a number of them. We'll now start expounding on them. Our teaching is on how to pray. We are learning how to pray. This is our school of prayer. And what we are on now is how to pray for the people that you love. You see, there was a time that Israel decided to ask God for a king, even though it was not in line with what God wanted them to have, at least at that particular point in time. So you see that, let me just jump to where we really, where I really want. Yeah, 1 Samuel chapter 12. You know what happened was that Samuel began decided to show them, when they gathered to talk to Samuel, he decided to show them signs that God really was with him and God was angry with them. He said, even now, verse 16, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking for yourselves a king. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Then all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord so that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king. Then Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord to serve the Lord with all your heart. He now said to them in verse 22, for the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name. Now this is where I'm going, verse 23. He now says, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Please notice that Samuel said it would be a sin for me against God if I stop praying for you, that is the people of Israel. He said, but I will instruct you in the way, in the good and right way. He said to them, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Now let me just stop here so as to save our time. Why I read this is the fact that Samuel said he had a responsibility, a duty to continue to pray for the people of Israel. And he said that if he didn't do that, it would be counted against him as sin against the Lord. That is, for Samuel, praying constantly for the people of Israel was a duty that if he neglected to do, he would be sinning against God. We must bear that in mind. Now, we read where we read just now, all right, which was one, the one we began to read last time, that from 1 John chapter 5. And last time I talked about that extensively, and then I just want to pick up from there. Remember we said, this was a statement I made last time, that God made us for connection. Nobody was made to be alone. And that the reason why he did that is so that there will be a channel through which the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, may flow in life. There's a statement we've read again and again from the book of Psalms. It says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men, to the children of men. That is, what happens on this earth is not just what God wants to happen. If God wants something to happen on the earth, one of the first things he does is to get somebody to cooperate with him. The reason why we must learn about prayer is that that is the method by which the thing that God wants to do on the earth gets done. If God wants to save a nation, he gets somebody to agree that this nation should be saved, and the person begins to make intercession and supplication for that nation. What the reason is that it is that person that has authority in that on the earth not God himself. The reason is that God had already made it such that it's human beings that have the authority. So the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given, all right, under the charge of the children of men. So if God wants to do something, he needs your cooperation and our cooperation. And that's what we call prayer. Prayer is simply to look at what God wants to do and begin to declare that thing on the earth. It's like giving our authority and our power to the Lord to say, God, your will be done. That is, we are saying, it wasn't a request per se that God, please let your will be done. No, it was an authorization of the will of God to be done. It wasn't like we are praying, God, let your will be done. We are saying, we give you the power and the authority. Come into the earth and establish that which you want to do. That is the principle, okay, of prayer. Now, in line with that, we now said that God has connected us, all of us, to ourselves. You know, there's a channel by which God flows his power. Now, and there's a scripture we must read again when James was speaking, when he talked about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availing much. Now, let's just quickly read that, because it's very important. I emphasize the issue of praying for the people that you love. Book of James chapter 5. Let's just really read from my usual translation, then I go to the Amplified. It said, therefore, confess your... That was verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. It said, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now, please notice that you pray for one another, and that will bring forth healing for you. He said, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. That's New American Standard. But I just like us to quickly read it in the Amplified Bible. And that expression there, it's very instructive, how he says in the Amplified rendering. I just need the second part. It says, confess your fault one to another, pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. It said, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. It says, it's dynamic in its working. Why I read this is the fact that he brought out the expressions earnest, heartfelt, continued. Please, my emphasis is on the word heartfelt. That's what they call earnest. And what do you mean by that? It is something that touches you. The Bible says that we have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The statement I made before, that was last time we were speaking, be careful you don't just go around breaking relationships recklessly. Do you understand my point? It's very important. Preserve good relationships, Christian relationships. I'm not talking about with unbelievers. We're talking about people who know God, who can speak a word for you in the presence of God. When we're talking about heartfelt, first is that, you know, we talked about the Lord being touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It is somebody that loves you and is concerned about you that is most effective in praying for you. Let me say that again. It is a person that loves you and is concerned about you, knows you personally, that is most effective in praying for you. And the same thing happens with you also. It is the person that you love that you feel the person's pain. Now, there are different things. You know, a man of God, an anointed person, a minister that you don't know, who has an unction in his hand, can lay hands on you and power will flow. There are different ways, all right? We're talking about making supplications before God. We are talking about making intercessions before the Lord. It is a person that knows you, that you know, that you feel his or her pain, that you are most effective in praying about. I always put it like this. How effective is your prayer for somebody? If you heard that the person had an accident and you were eating, do you follow? How will it affect the food you are eating? You know, sometimes we are eating and you hear there was a bomb blast in Kazakhstan and, you know, 50 people died. Oh, you are saying, hey, this is Islamist. They just want to destroy this world. And you continue eating as if nothing happened. That is proof to you that your prayer for Kazakhstan is not very effective. I'm not saying it doesn't work at all. Everything has grids. Do you understand my point? Yes. You know, you may say that, what if God wants him to pray for Kazakhstan? Let me tell you something. God knows what he's doing. He doesn't break these rules. In fact, these rules are not breakable. Let me just put them like that. If he wants you to pray for Kazakhstan, what he will do is to put the passion for Kazakhstan inside your heart, so that you start feeling the pain that they are feeling. You know, that's why the most effective prayer warrior or evangelist in an area is the local, the person who is there. Do you understand? Who grew up there? I remember a story I read in God's smuggler. I've used it to illustrate many times. This man, Brother Andrew, who wrote the book, God's, or the story, God's Smuggler, is about him. He said one of those days when communism was at its peak, and he used to go into those countries to supply Bibles and encourage the brethren. One of those days, he went to Romania, I think, one of those communist countries, and he saw these elderly Christians. They had been there for a long time. Of course, they are elderly. They were there before communism. They are still there. Most of the villagers had disappeared one way or the other. Maybe they've managed to find their way to Eastern Europe, Western Europe. All right, this was Eastern Europe. And I think this also had the opportunity. So he asked them simply, all right, why have you not gone? And they said to him, and is it because of land? Is it, okay, maybe you're waiting that one day our land will be restored back to us. Right now, it's under government control. No, that was not the issue. They looked at him and said, if we also leave, who will stay behind to pray? That was what they said, that somebody needs to stay behind to pray. That struck me, that they are saying in effect, all right, once we exit this place and we forget the place, it becomes more difficult to have effective prayer set for that place. That's it. You know, if you have your investment in America and you're a Nigerian and just read the news of what's going on in Nigeria, it's good, I'm not saying it's bad, but you are not as effective in praying as the people that invested their life in the country. Their children are going to school right here. I keep on saying, if I was the government, this one that Buhari is coming to power, if he asks my opinion, one of the first things he will do is to ban international travel for medical care for anybody in any tier of government. Do you understand? If you want to go, you first resign that position. I don't care how sick you are. All right, if you must go, resign that position. Because the reason why healthcare doesn't work well is because those who have the power to make it work have the flight ticket to go and take treatment in America. They have the flight ticket to go and take treatment in the UK. They can easily go fly to South Africa or go to India to go and take treatment. All right, and when you get to America, the people they see are Nigerians. The people they see are Ghanaians. You understand? And they even prefer it. You know, some bros, depends, I can connect with you. No, really, there is nothing they are doing anywhere in the world that's not doable down here. There is nothing. The problem is that we don't just put up the appropriate avenue. Listen, let me not go into politics now, all right? But what I'm going to bring out is that it is where your treasure is. That is where your heart will be also. If they kill a man in Kazakhstan, you don't know his brother, you don't know his uncle, you don't know his father, you don't know his mother. It's just another statistic. All right, last week, terrorists killed 300 people worldwide. The statistics to you. Do you follow the point I'm making? But when you know the people, that's the meaning of heartfelt. People, when they are looking for prayer, sometimes looking for a big man to pray for you, big man of God. That's not the person you need. You need the person who your trouble, all right, we keep awake. That's the person you need. You send me an email from South Korea, Pastor Banky, pray for me. Do you know the distance between you and South Korea? Of course, the distance is not the problem, really. Yes, I don't know you. I will say a general prayer. If at the end they told me you died, it's a statistic that I died. We will pray. It's not that we won't pray. But most of the result is based upon your ability to tap our prayer by faith. However, you know, I was reading, I got an email, a WhatsApp and a video. Somebody sent me a video by WhatsApp today. A recording, about 6 minute recording. Well, like a 6 minute speech made by a pastor, at least a clergyman, on the floor of the United Nations General Assembly. Ban Ki-moon was there, you see. The president of the assembly for that session was there. I don't know how many of you have seen it. And the man described how he was dead, totally dead, for almost an hour, all right, for about 45 minutes. He was totally dead. Now, if blood does not flow into your brain for 6 minutes, your brain dies permanently, irrecoverably, is dead. In fact, when they are doing neurosurgery, all right, when they clamp a vessel, they time it because that vessel must be released quickly, all right, within a certain period of time. This man was dead totally for 45 minutes, no heartbeat, no breathing. They had put the corpse in the ambulance to take it away. After 45 minutes, according to him, Jesus came into that ambulance and woke him up. And he woke up and he was there giving this speech of total sound mind. Nothing wrong with him at all. I was thinking about it. I got it just about 2 hours ago. I was thinking about it. I said, okay, how did this man believe God? A dead man. I just thought about it. Okay, why did Jesus wait till he had died before raising him up? You understand? That's spiritual and not Lazarus level. Lazarus, he was here. Why is Jesus answering the prayer? I'll tell you the truth. Why that man woke up at that time was that somebody was making supplications and intercessions. Listen, there's no other reason. There's no other reason. Listen, for your prayer to be effective for somebody, an individual, either you know the person well, all right, or certain things brings that person's burden upon you. All right, I need to qualify that. Because somebody like me, there are things I see, whether I know you or not, all right, it pains me. Okay? If I see somebody having a particular kind of suffering, whether it's God that did it, I don't know. I don't care whether I feel it's a total stranger. Instantly, the burden enters my heart. I can start praying for the person that I don't know you personally. But until something burdens your soul, your prayer is not effective. That is what I'm trying to emphasize. Until something burdens your soul, your prayer is not effective. That's why I read from that book of James, from that Amplified Rendering, chapter 5. And that's something I want us to understand again today. That's what I was saying earlier. Let me just continue what I was saying. That's why you don't go around breaking relationships anyhow. Because it is not always easy for God to find a willing person to pray for somebody. It is not always easy. He said there was a time I sought for a man. God wanted to judge Israel. And like I said to you, God exists, all right, in different dimensions. There is a dimension in which he is seen as judge. And there is a dimension in which he is seen as a loving father. All right? There is a dimension you look at him as a covenant husband, to like he was to Israel. As a covenant husband to Israel, he did not want to punish them. So what he did was to start looking for somebody to make intercessions against their judgment before the judge of the whole earth, which he is also, of course. But then he said, I didn't find. The judge must rule fairly all the time. So when he did not find, he poured forth his indignation upon the people. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize. Sometimes God wants to bless a man. And one of the ways, because God the Father is always kind, always kind. He will exhaust every mechanism of blessing that person before he allows judgment to come upon the individual. All right? So he said, okay, what do we do for this man? Let somebody pray for him. And God goes through every individual. That is, there are probably only 65 individuals on this earth that have the capacity to pray effectively for that fellow. But the first five, he has slapped their faces in public. The next five, he took their money, didn't return it. The next five, they were in need, he did not answer. You know, like that guy has offended everybody. Everybody. So anyone the Holy Spirit says, please, oh, Chike is sick, pray for him. What I just remember is Chike. Say, Chike, where is that guy now? That idiot. He must be dead. That's the only statement that comes from their mind. You just hear Chike in their heart. And the only thing that comes to their mind is, that's idiot. That's the God leaves those ones alone. Go somewhere else. He said, please pray for Chike. Those ones wake up and say, I hope that boy will remember to pay me my money. Don't mind him. This guy defrauds everybody. Oh, this person, okay, where else do we go? They go somewhere else. Say, Chike, he said, that boy that slapped me in public, one day I will return my own. Aye! After a while, the Holy Spirit comes back to God the Father and says, nobody is praying for him. You can't get somebody else. Okay, go and try all the sisters. You go to the first one. That's Christian sisters. Go to the first one. Chiki, you just remember Chiki. Say, Chiki, that boy can break somebody's heart. It's only God that said I wouldn't die because of him. The Holy Spirit goes again. Pray for him now. She needs him to pray. Because you must understand that the devil too. We just remind her. He broke your heart. Say, it's true. And that girl has not learned enough about forgiveness. And even if she does, she just forgives him and forgets him. She literally forgives him and forgets him. Finally, they say, what happened? Throw the boy in the center of the road. Truck will kill him. The people won't know that. Why did he die for his sins? Not because he was the greatest of sinners in Israel. It's because there was nobody to pray for him. Nobody. Everything was going wrong in his life. That's I'm warning you now. Don't just think that. Me, I don't need anybody in this my life. What is it? I've seen you behave like that. They don't need anybody. Christmas Day, you lock your gate. No problem. Troubled day, your gate will also be locked. That's why I'm just warning you ahead of time. Now, let's just talk about this. You, look, one of the things I teach people then, and I'm still teaching you now, is let the memory of your name, all right, bring a smile and a longing into people's hearts, a smile to their faces. Like, where is Neka? Hi, Neka. We've not seen in a long time. My God, Neka. You know, they just start smiling, just thinking about you. They just start smiling when they are thinking about you. The memory of your name is not a burden to their souls. When the Bible says the memory of the just is blessed, we used to misquote it in school those days. That means that when you read, you will remember. That's not what the Bible says. That is the recollection of the name of a just man is a blessed thing. That when people remember you, they will be happy. You must strive for that. I tell people, look, you are going to a rich man's house. Say, he has money. He doesn't need anything. It's not just about what he needs. It's about what you also need in life. Make it a habit. You are going there. You are coming from the village. Don't they have pineapples in the village where you are coming from? You think you give a millionaire pineapples, you will forget? You go to his house. Chief, good morning, sir. We just came back from the village. Say, let us greet you. Meanwhile, here are pineapples. But some people, as you are knocking on the gate, he tells you, what does he want? You know, like, last time he came here, he wanted feast for his children. The last time he came here, his family are not eating for a day or two. The last time he came here, do you understand my point? That's all. So next time you knock at the gate, what does he want this time? And you go home, sitting and say, he has money. Let's collect our portion. You're just wasting your spiritual influence. You don't realize it. People don't. Listen, I've told you, make sure that the memory of your name, it brings a smile. Because when there's time to pray for you, those are the things that matter. I'm not talking about, you know, this Jaguda principle in Christianity. Give somebody something so he can remember you. That's not what I'm going to say. But just make giving a habit. Make it such that you are a good person to be with. That you are a good person to be with. It makes you easier to pray for. That is the point I'm making. I heard a story long ago. Now, the person who preached with this, he also said what I'm about to tell you. They are not sure this happened. But there's what they call these apocryphal writings. They are not scripture, but they write on spiritual things. Some of them appear Christian, but they are not in the canon of scriptures, all right? I've heard a lot of preachers quote from some of them, but they warn you that, look, I just want to say this, all right, in passing. If I remember Ed Cole talking about the encounter of Jesus when he returned to heaven after his death and resurrection, all right? And the people said that, what are you going to do now? He said, I left 12 men. He said, 12, what if they fail? He said, there's no other plan. It's one of those books. One of them wrote a story about Pharaoh. And that people were praying. I don't know who exactly, but people were praying for Pharaoh to be judged. All right? And that's Pharaoh that kept Israel in captivity. They were praying for him to be judged. But that God will always say, I can't judge him. They say, why not? Then God will let them see the number of people that Pharaoh was feeding. That each day he was slaughtering like 1,000 cows. Not to count the number of goats and chicken. We have not counted all the grain and all of that. To feed all those he ate at his table. And that for that reason, I think it was Moses or somebody, they kept on praying against Moses, Pharaoh. And what God could do to bring Pharaoh to judgment was to incite him to stop doing the good he was doing. So little by little, he was tightening the noose on the Israelites. Go and make more bricks. At the same time, he was reducing the amount of food he was serving from his table. They said the night that Israel, I think they said the night that the angel came in and killed the firstborn, only two fowls were slaughtered in Pharaoh's house that day. Do you understand what I'm saying? From 1,000 cows a day to two fowls. So by that time, his judgment was due. Nobody was groaning and crying for favor for him. When I said last time, let me say it again. You can disband a witch's coven easily. And you don't have to be a believer. This is what I'm telling you now. We Christians, name of Jesus covers all those disbanding. But you are not a believer, witches are gathering against you. Bring all of them to your house. Feed them. When they finish eating, they can't witch again. What I've told you is that they will now use your food to do anything against you. I said it before, they cannot use your food to do anything against you. God the judge never allows that. I hope we are clear on that. Now, what I'm just bringing out from there today is this. Make sure that the memory of your person brings a smile to people's faces. It's just a general principle of life that you must practice. That's what I'm going to say, all right? Now, back to what I was saying. So, remember where we began from? We said that God has tied us to people. He made sure that you didn't drop from the sky. The human child is said to be the weakest, the most helpless of all offsprings on the earth. The human child. When a human being is born, he's worse than a freshly hatched lizard. You know it. The lizard, the egg hatches in the morning. By evening, it has disappeared. The turtles, they will come out of the sea, out of the ocean, and lay their eggs in the sands. When these eggs hatch, the little turtlings, is that what they call them? Is there anything like turtlings? But you know what I'm talking about. Those little things, they scramble for the ocean by themselves. Nobody's there. Fowl hatches the egg now. The little chicks will get up and follow the mother. The mother practices the principle of my sheep know my voice. Just goes in front. The little ones will be following. You've seen the goats. As soon as you give birth to any of these, either the goats or the ungulates, or those the antelopes and stuff like that, they get up immediately. The first thing they do in life is try to get up. Start following the mother. They find the breast by themselves. You get the point? But the human child is different. Give birth to him or her, lies down there making noise, starts crying, puts the breast 1 inch away from his mouth. He's not going to move closer. He stays there and says, put it here. The only time that fellow opens the mouth to suck the breast is when the nipple touches his face. That is the only thing God allows you to do. We call it routine reflex. No, you can do just a little baby. Just put your finger and touch the cheek. The mouth just shifts in that direction. That is the best he can do until the thing enters his mouth and says, how far? Since when? I don't dare hear the cry since. If the mother just sitting across the bed, he can't roll over and say, mommy, wait now, I'm coming. No, he stays in one place. He's said to be the most helpless. Walk now. Walk. 12 months. If he walks at 7 months, he'll be, wow, this boy walked early. Wow. Goat was walking at 7 seconds. You get what I'm trying to explain? That's how human beings are helpless. Why? Because God is tying them to that mother. That's it. God ties everything. Other process is a thorough bonding process. The mother gets used to this offspring. The offspring gets hooked to the mother. Everything must be done for him, done for her. There's a spiritual reason. It's because they are not like goats. The destiny that they carry, goats don't carry it. The destiny that they carry, turtles don't carry it. This people are going to carry the presence of the Almighty God. God said, no, they must pour a good spirit into them. And the only way you can do that is by the people who are around caring for them. It's not just physical care. It's the spiritual care that's the issue. They are speaking words into their lives. They are teaching them godliness. God is that's what God did for us, so tied us together. Then when your mother has you, after some months or years, they add another person to you. They don't let you go before the next one comes. Unlike goat will first, in fact, the moment he's pregnant again, start headbutting the older one. Get away from here. You know, that's what they do. Before the next set comes, the older ones have to go. That's it. You've seen chicken fighting children. So what you see here at your age? Come on! It's only when it has done that, it will go and lay another set. But human beings know. The mother is pregnant like this. The baby is still going around. I remember when my second boy was born, Binga. Mother was carrying him. I can look at him and say, put him down. Carry me. There are children that still want to be, you know, checking who's on the breast roster. Is it me or my younger brother? You have to come on shift. Why? They have two of them who grow in the same house. God is bonding the older one to the younger one. You're getting the principle here. Tight connection. Why? It's the only way spiritual power flows. That's what I'm going to explain. That is how spiritual power flows. Back to what Samuel said. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for my younger brother. Are you getting what I'm saying? God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for my elder sister. God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for my cousins. God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for my children. God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for my parents. Because the reason why God puts this network is so that spiritual power can flow, period. What is the message today? It is a sin not to pray for the people that you love. That is the main message for today. We must understand it's a serious responsibility. You know, I said before that there are three things that control the things that happen on this earth. Number one, the plan of God, what we call the will of God. Number two, the behaviors of people. Are they sinning against God? Are they doing what is right in his presence? And number three, the prayers of people. It's a combination of those three things that determine everything that happens on the earth. Each one of them is just as potent as the other in affecting what happens on this earth. We've already established about the issue of praying for somebody who's committed a sin that's not unto death. But I'm not going to talk about that much now. What I just use that one to help you understand is that a man is committing sin. It is possible for somebody else to pray for him, and he does not suffer the consequences of the sin. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. And who is that person? Is what the Bible calls a kinsman redeemer, somebody who is tied to him. Somebody who is connected with him, who knowing that if what he's doing, if he's to reap the just recompense of reward, I will feel pain. And that's why God makes it so that you feel the pain of other people. That's the main reason. It's not so that you can settle down in a corner and be discussing. Can you imagine what John Bull is up to? I'm just feeling sorry for that guy. When God is going to come down against him, he will see. That's not the reason. The reason is so that we can, you know the interesting thing about God? As much as we may not realize it, he doesn't want anybody to perish. For him, it's a real disaster when an armed robber gets shot and he dies in his sins. It's a real disaster. It's a real disaster that anybody dies because he or she sins. God considers a real problem. That is, it shouldn't be like that. That's why he's not quick to judge. We human beings are very quick to judge. We get angry. But he's not quick to judge. What he wants is that, okay, let's hope that this fellow will repent. And then this point I'm making. That fellow coming to repentance, I don't know why it's like that. The fact is that it depends a lot on people praying for him. I am not saying that the prayers will always have the desired effect. Are you getting my point? Because there are many factors. You can't force a human being to be saved. All right? But, you must be seen to have done what you are supposed to do. Lest it be that the reason why we did not get the desired result was you didn't do your own portion. Please, I hope you have what I'm saying. What I'm doing today is throwing the responsibility for the welfare of our siblings, parents, close cousins, friends. I'm throwing the responsibility on us according to the commandment of God today. Before we even talk about how to. We must first realize that the reason why God placed in that family and you are the one that has light is because it is your duty to affect everybody else. It is possible that you are the reason why your brother hasn't believed. Yes? What did I do? Okay. When last did you sit down and beg God for him? I said something last time. I didn't plan to say it until I said it. When my God, my wife, this one is new. That somebody just complaining to God and you say it's accusation. I say yes. Because when you go, all you did was tell God everything that he has done. Is that also? So what do you want God to do with it? To say I have heard. God doesn't have a neutral gear. No, he doesn't have a neutral gear. Either it's actively bringing forth judgment or it's actively applying mercy. It's when the two of them balance, you now know the one that's going on. The woman comes to say about her son. God in heaven, oh, you are the only one I can talk to. The one that Emeka has been doing to me, you know what Emeka will use last time? Please, in case your name is Emeka and Chike, nobody reported me to you. But in case you are guilty as charged, they better repent before the judgment comes. Sometimes you are saying this, someone say, hey, my mother called this man. My mother called him. My mother didn't call me. All right? But just in case you feel like you are the one, repent or you will likewise perish. That's what the Bible says. All right? So this woman goes to God and says, my son Emeka, 6 months, he has not even remembered me. God, oh, now your eye did, your hand I did. Oh. Before you said in that your hand I did, she first reminds God that 6 months, the person who you gave the duty of taking care of me hasn't remembered me. No matter what she intended, she has accused him. Doesn't mean she's an evil person. But she has accused him. And it is not her fault. Are you getting my point? But I'm not sitting on that one now. What I want to sit on is how we relate with our brothers, our sisters, our friends. A lot of times we also accuse instead of doing intercession and supplication. My friend is doing something, my brother is doing something. What we often do, and don't forget one thing, the Bible says, those that fear the Lord speak often one to another, and the Lord heard. What we do a lot of time, we sit down. Have you heard? What happened? Hey, the one that sister, give me a name. Okay, Lois, all right? No Lois in the house. The one that sister Lois is up to now, I don't know. Did you see that guy she's following? All right, Lois, no be you. But I must finish my story without changing the name. Because when I started, I didn't know there was a Lois. And just in case you are the one following a stranger too. Let me not deny you of your correction. Till now, I don't know who the Lois is. So I saw the heads go in one direction. So I refused to look in that direction. So I can finish my story effectively. So the lady's guy said, have you heard what she's up to? What? Hey, that guy that she's following. That one is a Christian. This is the problem with all these girls. What is it? Because he's driving a sharp car. Did she, we see. Let her just be going. They don't hear. When you finish the discussion, finish your food and you go home. Accusation. Pure accusation. Hardly do we remember. And that thing, the flesh flows. You understand? The flesh flows with it. The gist is sweet. And it's righteous talk. Oh. God forbid. Anyway, the Christians these days, we don't know. She's your friend. That was why you noticed. If tomorrow she marries Jaguda, or her husband's name is now Agbako. Anyway, in case you want to know what Agbako is an evil spirit that injures people. 6 months after she marries, anytime you see her, she's wearing dark glasses. Or she's wearing a tying scarf because of the bumps on her head. Why? Because Agbako, he's been terrorizing her in the house. How will you feel? You cannot force her to leave following Agbaku by force. It's not possible. But you can pray and say, God, bring confusion into the midst of this relationship so that Lois will see in the correct direction. That guy doesn't look like a Christian to us. In case we are wrong, show us that we are wrong. But as at now, we think we are right. We deliberately plead mercy. And we are waiting for the time she will say that, ah, and now she has seen the light. You are hoping. I'm serious. So I was sitting there and just telling stories. It's very important, you see, in life, you're either an accuser or you're an intercessor. That's just the way it is in most situations. So you ask yourself, what exactly am I doing? Am I accusing or I am interceding? Now, we're not talking about a country. We've talked before about how to pray for a nation. Anybody who wasn't here, then please get it. We have the messages on MP3 CD, and then they're available on our website free of charge. All right? But now the emphasis is on praying for the people that you love. Like I said, I'm throwing the challenge. I'm throwing the, is it, which word now? The responsibility, yes, down on us again. We don't realize it, many of us. You are in a family. You have three brothers, two sisters. You are the only one that's a believer. Yes, everybody laughs at you because you do things strange. When they are all going one direction, you go in the other direction. Let me just say something. You know, I said something last time. Let me quickly repeat it now. Be careful about offense. You know what they call offense? Offense is what the devil uses to paralyze the people that you love so you can't help them. He makes you angry with them. I said earlier, be careful that you don't go around offending people so as not to make it difficult for them to pray for you. Now, I am not justifying you being angry with people who offend you. The Lord said it clearly. Pray for your enemies. How much more will you pray for your brother, your sister, your friend who offends you? If you can pray for your enemies. What Satan uses is to create offense, all right, amongst brethren. And the reason is that is how he can attack each one when he has separated them from the flock. If you watch programs that discuss the behavior of predators in the wild, one major thing they do when they have maybe a herd of, let's say, buffaloes, together, the lions can't take them. That is when the buffaloes are together. The lions can't take them. Those animals may not be as smart as the lions. They may not have the teeth and the claws of lions. But if they give you a headbutt, look, we're talking about buffalo. They said that the kick from a giraffe, you know a giraffe? One kick can kill a lion if it hits. If you know about what they call moment of forces in physics, you'll understand it. That thing is very tall. When it swings its hoof like that, if it hits a lion in the head, it can crack its skull. So it's something like a buffalo. Forget. If it's in the head, the lions know that these guys are dangerous. So you know what they do? They try and disperse them. Isolate one. That's when they have a feast. They just isolate it. No matter, these guys will bring down elephant if it's alone. When you see lions hunting, they hunt in it, and they are very smart. They won't hunt alone. You see, it's a lion. What do you call it? It's an elephant. They have, God gave them that sense. They have been, what they call the king of the jungle. It's not just from brute strength. It's a sense. And they see an elephant. Say, this elephant. Okay. No problem. When they want to hunt, they make sure they are like 10 around it. Wear the thing out. Just eventually it falls down. That's when it dies. They know where to deliver the killer bite. They know it. They know where the jugular is in every animal. But what I'm teaching is how they isolate. You see the buffalo all gathered together. The lion had better not come close. They will crush. And there was one I saw one day. I've forgotten which animal that the lion was attacking. The animal, I've forgotten which animal now. Give the lion a dirty kick in the mouth. Broke its lower jaw. And the commentator said that lion is going to die of thirst. Because the jaw was broken, couldn't lap water. Those animals can be dangerous. So the lion knows. So what do we do? Isolate him first. Some of you see brethren who isolate themselves. You know, the devil is cornering them. Real cornering. The devil is not cornering to one side. He now sits down there, is angry with everybody. And he makes everybody angry with him. And I keep on saying, God does not always find it easy to find an intercessor. They are not easy to find. A lot of the people that should have prayed for him, they are angry with him. Isolate people, offense. That's what I'm going to explain. Remember I said earlier, be careful you don't go around offending people. But that does not justify you holding offense against those that are connected to you. Because what the devil is using that to do is to isolate them from you. It's not you now, it's trying to isolate. It's isolating them from you. You're angry with this person. The other fellow is angry with him. Look, the number of intercessors on this earth are not inexhaustible. If God places you in a place like this, like our country here, in your own locality, wherever you are, don't think he will go to Ukraine to go and look for a man to pray for you. Because if your destiny is not going to affect the man in Ukraine, and you're not so crucial, what I mean by crucial now is that you are crucial to the people around, and they are angry with you. You're not useful to anybody anymore. God is not going to send you to Ukraine. I'm not going to prove the fact that God doesn't have an inexhaustible list of intercessors. One day, somebody offended me. I told another of our friends. I said, this guy is no longer my friend. I have downgraded him to the level of an acquaintance. To my surprise, he wrote back and said, please, Banky, don't do that. If you do that, how many friends do you think he has? Are you getting my point? That you have removed one in the life of a man that doesn't have many. You're about to kill him. So he said, please, do not be angry. Whatever he does, just forgive him. That's real intercession. That is, he interceded. Many times God wants to destroy people. Somebody makes a request like that and God says, okay, let's forget it. There was a time God was angry enough to wipe out the whole of Israel in one day. Moses stood between them and God and said in simple terms, God, if you want to kill them, you have to pass through me first. That was a simple thing. God, look, he began to use a lot of points. Now, let me say something to you. God responded to the arguments of Moses. Doesn't mean he believed those arguments. All that mattered to God was that it was important to Moses that he survived. Believe me. The only thing God heard was that Moses said, please don't. And Moses meant it. Moses got to a point, he said, if you will not forgive them, okay, wipe my own name out of your book. That was how much Moses was concerned. Because, okay, if it is important to this fellow, let them live. Maybe just 40 years, they will still die. God kept them alive for 40 years, or I don't know the exact length of time, just to satisfy Moses. Just to satisfy Moses. God will bless your father just to satisfy you. It is not a lot of argument. You know, sometimes I want to pray for those who have not believed, especially. You don't start claiming promises on their heads because the promises that don't apply to them, they apply to people of faith. Lord, you have said, no evil shall befall them. No, he didn't say so. Those scriptures are recorded, you take it for yourself. If you are praying for your siblings, you are praying for people you love, you are praying for safety, God will grant it because it is important to you. So you don't need to be able to speak big English. You just need to be concerned. Do you get the emphasis here? You just need to be concerned. That's why I was talking about offense. Offense is what the devil does so that's what he walks through, so as to isolate that your sister. You know your father doesn't talk to her again. You are aware. The man is tired of how your sister behaves. You know your mother is tired. The only people that seek consent is you and your brother about your sister's case. Everybody else has, they've given up. So he said, like I said, remember what I said last time? Satan asked, okay, how do I separate this person now? So your sister will call you. Can I borrow that your black dress for your wedding on Saturday? Because you love her, you give it to her. You don't know this offense Satan is setting up. Then when she's bringing it back, she has torn it. You know, it's good for you to be aware of the devices of the devil. When you are not aware, that's when you fall for it. Before now, Nayla said, I will never give her anything again. Satan said, yes, why should you give her? Foolish girl. What she's doing is building offense. Then somebody will come and say, hey, did you say that Eunice was your sister? Hey, if you hear what she was saying at that wedding about you, she even said that you snatched this, your husband, from your best friend. Eh? Eunice said that? I'm telling you ahead of time. What Satan is doing is building what? Offense. You have a conscious responsibility to forgive without her apologizing. If Jesus could say, pray for your enemies and those who despitefully use you, then your sister qualifies. You know what I'm explaining? The fact that Satan is trying to isolate that girl, because once she's isolated, she's doomed. We are built for connections in life. Nobody is saying a word about you to God. Your life is in danger. Especially when that fellow hasn't believed and has not built up faith by himself or herself to get on with life. They require the intercession of their loved ones. No pastor in Ukraine is coming to pray for your sister. None. No Ghanaian pastor remembers her. If you like, we send offering to Joyce Meyer and T.D. Jakes. You are one of the 50,000 people sending $10 a month. And they have a general prayer they pray. By the time they share it to 50,000 people, the potency in your life is very small. So let's pray for our partners. It's just one dose of prayer. It's shared. The only person whose prayer is unilaterally heavy upon that young woman's life is you. So Satan says, okay, I won't tell Josmea to be angry with her. Josmea's prayer is not working much anyway. That only delivers like 0.5 volts of energy. And her salvation in a particular case requires 1,000 volts. The 0.5 volts is not bad, but it's not going to save her. She volunteers in one motherless baby's home. No, in a displaced person's camp. When there are other 10,000 Christians volunteering, they are praying for her too. Their prayer is 2 volts. That's total of 2.5 volts. And we're going to 1,000. But knows that if you take that matter up in prayer, each time you kneel down, 100 volts is delivered. When you go, another 100 volts. When your other brother joins and says, Gabola! 150 volts is added. Satan don't check and say, if they continue like this, I've lost this girl. So that's what he's doing. Trying to separate her from you. Don't let the fact that she tore your dress allow that to happen. Are you getting my point? You hear that she's gossiping about you, please pay her back when she has repented and she's been saved. Then you now beat her properly. But for now, you understand what I'm saying? Please don't take that literally. You understand what I'm saying? Don't take it literally. I'm just trying to say that don't focus on that thing yet. There are more crucial things at hand. It's like your son takes your car. I mean, this car you reserved it that when your first daughter is wedding. Now you go drive. And you kept it now for 2 years. And the wedding is just 4 weeks away. In preparation for the wedding, the guy goes to take the Lexus. Says, this is for my senior sister's wedding. Let's cruise it. Let's warm it for daddy. And then you are not around. Next thing, they called you. Hello, sir. Is your son so-and-so person? Yes. Please, we are sorry he has been involved in an accident that happened inside the Lexus 590. There's no car like Lexus 590. I just want to change the beaker. That's the one you parked in the house. Is he okay? He's bleeding profusely. We need you to try to donate 2 pints of blood. I'm coming. You get there. Donate the 2 pints of blood. He's saved. They didn't amputate his leg. Good enough, it was saved. His head that was bashed in. They did surgery. They corrected it. We won't discuss the car here too. Have you noticed? Just get well. You're not even thinking, this car that I have saved up. No. You know, if he had bashed it and come out nicely. And he's saying, Daddy, I'm sorry. Beaten. You know, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. But now that he's been thoroughly injured, you leave that one first, though. Then the day he gets well, you now come and say, hey, that car matter, let's discuss it now. What am I trying to say? That is what we're talking about offense. What is at stake is much more dangerous, much more crucial than the fact that your sister has been spreading lies about you. That's why I said that joke, that one jokingly. Say, wait, let her be saved first. When she has been saved, we'll now discuss the lies. Say, Shane, now you're a child of God. You are going to heaven. Let's now settle the journey between her and heaven. She will repent by herself and she will now become inconsequential. I'm just emphasizing, listen to me. Do not let offenses isolate your brother. Don't let offenses isolate your sister. These people can annoy you so much you don't want to think about them. You will forgive and you will forget, but you will forget. You get my point? That is the kind of forgiving and forgetting that you're not supposed to do. Because she does not have many people praying for her. That's my emphasis. Oh, don't think if I don't do it, somebody else will do it. Oh, those who know to pray, there are few. I hope you know that. There are very few. Let's not occupy ourselves as Christians with discussing what happened to who. Sometimes some of us are waiting for something bad to happen to somebody to prove that they were wrong and we were right. You want to hear that something terrible happened. Why? I told him that time we should be going to church. He wasn't going, coming. He was going to party. See? Thank God for righteousness. If you walk with God, you know, you are feeling justified because somebody else. I don't know what else to say than it's not necessary. Listen. He that shows mercy is the one that will obtain mercy. Let me tell you something about yourself. You are worse than you realize. Yeah. You may not realize it. You need as much mercy as the person that you're supposed to be praying for. I keep on telling people, we don't know that the way God judges sin, or how he assesses it, the way God assesses sin, you've not seen it too. Many of the things you say, you think is a trivial thing, God says it is heavy. Many of the things you consider heavy, God says it is a small thing. And I said something last time. I said, Jesus said, this you're talking to the Pharisees, that you emphasize so much on this tithing and tithing and tithing, you neglect the weightier matters of the law. That is, to God, that tithing was a low matter. But you know, this is when we hear in church, it's not like that. There are people who think that God must do them good because they've been faithful tithers. Jesus said that's a low matter of the law. Mercy, justice, they are heavier matters of the law. What was he saying? A faithful tither who does not forgive those who offend him is worse off than the man who never pays that tithe. But anytime somebody offends him, he quickly forgives them. The way God assesses matters, that's why I told you, generally speaking, you are worse than you realize. Because once you think you are good, that's already badness. The very thought in your mind that I'm a good man, that's a bad thing. Any man, they came to Jesus and said, good teacher. He said, who said that? He said, there is none that is good but God. That's Jesus talking. So if you feel like you are good, that alone is a sign that you are bad. That thought process is what? Bad. Why am I emphasizing that? To let you know you need mercy. As much as the person you are raising should have said, when something bad happened, he will now know that she should have followed me. You must never, for anybody that you love, you don't ever desire the person to come under judgment. Now, there are times you understand and God will let you know this fellow must come under discipline. In which case, it is for their salvation. It's so that they can be ultimately saved. But that they should be judged. No, anybody you love, you must never want it for them ever. You must always want God to overlook. It doesn't mean he will never judge you. I'm just talking about your own portion. Your own side of it is that, dear Lord, have me. That is, the reason is because there are so many other people on the other side accusing the person. God has very few people on this side making intercessions for individuals. I know I began it with one statement that that Samuel made. He said, God forbid. First Samuel chapter 12. He said, moreover, I'm reading the Amplified Bible, that one's closer to me. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And these are people who had disobeyed God well. He first demonstrated to them that they had disobeyed God by calling down thunder and rain in the time of harvest. When the fields are supposed to be dry, it was their own part of dry season when everything is dry, ready for harvest. He convinced them. He now said, what will I now do? I will let you suffer so that you will know you sinned against God. No. He said, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. So that's my message for today. I think I've delivered it. I should begin to close. Remember, it is your responsibility. No intercessor in Rwanda is praying for your younger brother. Do you understand that? No intercessor in Rwanda is praying for him. You are the intercessor that's praying for him. You have a friend. Don't assume that God has raised a band of Christians in one cave in Tanzania to bring forth revival into your family. It's a lie. Usually what God does is that when somebody has light before him, all right, when somebody has a connection with God, when somebody has the ability to connect with the voice of God, it's not the person's responsibility to bring light into the whole environment. Now, when I say environment now, it could be a family. Could be a group of friends. All right? Could be a group, you know, group of brethren. That's what I'm talking about, environment. I want to emphasize that. Because with God, families are not only natural families. Those are not the only people that are families. Okay? The Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than the blood brother. He was referring to when he says brother there. All right? It happens that you have a friend that's as close to you or closer than a real brother. I give an example. When one of my friends, he was traveling. He signed his checks blank and gave them to me. And he had a younger brother. You understand my point? He had family members. The person he sent signed the checks blank and gave to hold was me. So he'll call me, please, help me send money to this person. I'll fill it in, take it to the bank, and collect. If his brother is going to get money, I have to disburse it. Now, that's what I'm trying to explain. So when we talk about families, it's not just blood brothers. What do you call it? These nuclear, physical families. I just came back from our convention now. And those are that's another family. That's it. People have connected to you. I told you then, when the crisis in the north was hot, once in a while, I called my friend Pastor Courage. Obohafa. The first 2 seconds, I'm waiting for how he will sound. When he just say, my widow, I say, oh, praise the Lord. Those kind of people, their welfare is important to you. Do you understand? That they are part of what I call your family. And it is your duty as a Christian to take them up in prayer regularly. There are two groups now, those who are believers and those who are not believers. Next time we'll now take, you know, today, I was thinking I'll get there, but we didn't get there. But I hope you were blessed by what I said so far. All right? We'll now talk about what exactly do we pray for concerning them. For somebody that's an unbeliever, let me start with that. I said that in 2-3 minutes, we pray and then we are gone. Somebody that's an unbeliever, the first thing the person needs is the light of Jesus Christ. The person doesn't need a house, does not need a car, doesn't need to graduate from school, does not need a husband, does not need healing, doesn't need any other thing than the light of Jesus. You will use all kinds of methods. Pray the Lord that he will send laborers into the harvest field. You use it. The devil is binding their eyes. We pray again. If the fellow now money when the portion, you say, God, make him broke. I'm saying those are the times you will pray what looks like judgment. But actually, it's not judgment, it's discipline. All this running up and down, Lord, frustrate you so that he will turn back to you. That's the prayer point. If it's a believer, number one prayer point for every Christian is the knowledge of truth. John said, it makes me glad when I hear that my children are walking in the truth. That's number one. Go and check the prayers of Paul. He never prayed. I pray that you will have abundant prosperity, that money will come to you, be able to buy cars, and everybody will know that your God is good. No. That's why we declare all the time, I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. That was his prayer for the Colossians. We took that from the letter to the Colossians. For the Ephesians, he prayed that their eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, that they will be able to understand what God has prepared for them in Christ and what the will of God for their lives, all right? What the will of God for each person's life is, so that they will understand it. That is number one thing. These days when you see Christians walking blindly, as if somebody covered, as if Satan just bought them black goggles. You need to pray that the thing blinding their eyes, when you hear that Demas departed and went to Thessalonica, you say, Jesus, frustrate him in Thessalonica, let him come back. Do you understand my point? Now, you're not trying to tell the guy people's lives like that, but you want them to understand truth. Those are the fundamental prayer points for believers and for people. First, if they're unbelievers, they need to know Jesus Christ. Two, if they know Jesus Christ, they need to know him more. That's what we're saying. Those are the things you pray for people. But we're going to begin to talk about that further next time. But I hope you've gotten my point today. What's the point we have made? Tell your neighbor, it's your duty. Your brother's welfare, your sister's welfare, your father's welfare, your cousin's welfare, everyone tied to you, they have no under intercessor. That last statement is important too. Don't assume that there's somebody else. Possibly you are the only person. And tell the person, it is a sin. Say that one like I said it. It is a sin not to do your work. It is a sin to neglect to pray for them. Let's rise to our feet quickly. Let's begin to pray. Let's just quickly do something. Anytime you hear truths like this, you must always respond to it. Because one of the things that truth does for you, first of all, is to show you where you have been erring. Do you understand that? It shows you what you have not done right. It shows you what you were supposed to do that you did not do. And the way you respond is simply with repentance. Repentance is no, I must cry and cry. Say, Lord, I have seen my folly. I have learned what is right. Forgive me of what I didn't do before. Empower me to do it now. It's a simple prayer. Begin to pray for yourself. Simple words. You don't have to use plenty words. Just simple words. Lord, I have seen the light today. Then start repenting of offenses that you are harboring in your heart. When you were in university, your brother was driving a brand new car. He didn't give you money. You lost 1 year because he wouldn't send money. And you are still angry with him. You want that guy to be saved. You had better forget that anger. Start releasing people. Start releasing them. Because if we hold on to people, if we bind them in our hearts, God may not be able to do anything for them. So start releasing them. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I release so-and-so person. I forgive him. I forgive her. I take on the role of an intercessor, of a supplicator for those people. For the times that I have neglected to pray for my brothers, my sisters, my cousins, my friends, I repent right now in the name of Jesus, and I receive forgiveness from you. I receive grace to do my work. I receive grace to do it. I receive grace to do it. I commit myself to it again. Many of us have learned to pray for the nation, and we have been doing it. We've been speaking positively. It is time to learn to pray for people that God says it is our duty. It's good to pray for the missionaries in Ukraine, in Estonia, in Tajikistan. We pray for missionaries in Madagascar. It's good. But remember, there's a mission field that you go to every weekend. Have you prayed for the heathen that are there? or the Christians that need to have light. Make a commitment now. You can say, Lord, I will do that. Because that's where my prayer is effective. That's where my prayer is effective. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's just take another minute, all right? Just pray for somebody, one of your loved ones. All right? Use your own words. I'll guide you a bit. In fact, based on what we have said, just take a minute. Don't speak in tongues. Don't groan. Just speak simple language you understand. Lord, my brother, my cousin, so-and-so person, Albert, whatever be his name, I'm asking of you, Lord, that you will lead him into the knowledge of Christ. Let his own ways be frustrating to him so that he will see that only Christ is the Savior, Jesus Christ. Or look at this, my brother or my sister, still afraid of witches, afraid of the dark, still believing in generational curses, still sowing seed where Jesus said, I have already sown all the seed. He needs the light. She needs the light. I am asking that you open the eyes of her understanding, that she will know what indeed Jesus has done and how it is futile to labor with her own energy instead of just receiving the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, the confidence not to be afraid of witches, that confidence that you have given to me, let her have it also. It's a simple prayer. Do that for 1 minute. Mention somebody's name. Okay, another 1 minute. Another person. Pray for another person like that. It's a good time to learn these things. When the word is still charging in your heart, quickly respond to it and use it for something. Somebody's going to get saved in your house next week. Your brother that you don't know what he's up to, just watch it next week. He's rededicating his life to Christ. Address the devil in their life. Say, you evil spirit that's blinding him, that's not letting him see the knowledge of truth, I speak against you in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Depart. Release your hold. The spirit of mammon, break your hold in his life. I stand as a representative of Christ in his life. And I said, that hold be broken. That light will shine upon him. Light will shine upon her. In the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, the salvation that Jesus bought for us, my brother, we experience it. My brother, we experience it. Now begin to give the Lord thanks because he has heard it. Say, Lord, thank you because you have heard. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks for your word and for the fact that you have taught us to pray and you have answered this prayer as we prayed now. In Jesus' name. Before we go, please listen again. You must get rid of offense out of your life. Sometimes people say, what if the person didn't ask for forgiveness? Somebody doesn't have to ask for forgiveness, really, before you can forgive the person. I know there are different schools of thought about it, but I don't think that the person must ask for forgiveness. All right? Sometimes it is just, the people that were flogging and caning Jesus Christ, did they ask for forgiveness? But what did he say? Why? Did they ask for forgiveness? Stephen, when he was being stoned, did he ask for forgiveness? What did he say? Lord, don't hold this sin against them. So you can forgive people without them asking for it. So I have a word for a few people here this evening. Forgive those people, even though you may not see them again in their lives. It's important. Once in a while, again, instruction for everybody. A dear friend's name suddenly comes back to your mind. You say, Ambrose, I've not seen him in such a long time. I wonder how he's doing. Time to pray for him. That's time to pray for him. There are two ways you do it. The simplest way, everybody do that once in a while, just drop a sentence. A word will come to your heart. Don't worry. That's how it goes. Our Lord, wherever he is, take care of him. I ask you that have mercy on him. Let no evil befall him. In his journey, keep it. Just any prayer will come. That's good. Sometimes it does not go away. That is when it is good to be filled with the Spirit and know how to pray in the Spirit and groan. Sometimes it gets to that level. Whatever it is, don't forget, the salvation of somebody else depends on you. Jesus has done all he's going to do. All that is remaining is what you and I will do. I hope you got my point this evening. All right, the Lord is good. God bless you very much. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely, we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.